All right, we're good now, brother? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the good meals that have been provided throughout the week. And appreciate you allowing our wife to stand today and in the ladies' meeting. And I know she enjoyed that richly. And I pray that it was a great blessing to you. And appreciate what the Lord's done in our hearts up until this point. And we do appreciate His kindness and His grace. I'd like to do something right quick before we read the Word of God. I'd like for everybody that's seen a revival meeting that's extended, went into the next week, second week, if you've seen a meeting like that, would you sit down for just a moment's time? If you've never seen a revival go on into a second week, I want you to remain standing. I think as we look around, we see a need. In these days for a true move of God.
Yes, amen.
Where the Lord would really give us a hunger.
Yep.
You know, we'll get the message just a minute. I'm just going to tarry right here just a second. Just feel led the Lord to say something there. Well, the first night, Lord remind us He's still on the throne.
Amen.
He's still able.
Right.
Still willing.
Yep.
Still wants to do for us.
Amen.
Then Lord talk to our hearts about how we need to draw near God.
Yes.
Allow the Lord to fill our life with His presence and His power. And many things God gearing us toward revival.
Right.
And some of you that are seated, you've seen it.
Yep.
But when you look around tonight, there's a generation coming.
Yep.
That have never seen.
Yep.
Real revival in their life.
Right.
God under a great burden for our church. Because we've been living on what God used to do.
Yep.
And I notice every testimony that we had about revival was about what God did back then.
Yep.
And God began to break my heart because I said, we've got a generation of young people that have never seen it.
Right.
They've never seen saints of God get so thoroughly right with God that they weep and beg each other to get right with each other.
Right.
They've never seen the meetings prolonged.
Right.
They've never seen old time. I mean, we've seen people get saved, don't misunderstand me, but never seen God break in power and sinners come under old time conviction.
Right.
And several getting saved at the same time.
Yep.
And I began preaching along the lines for revival. I've always, in my travels, I've been blessed to see it as an evangelist. I've been blessed to see God do that in churches. But as far as the pastor had been pastor at that time, probably, I don't know how many years at the time, 15 years when God broke in on us for revival.
Amen.
This is the first time as a pastor I witnessed God break in.
Yes.
Ended up going for a month, 15 professions of faith, and
Amen.
They're still in there serving God for His honor and glory.
Yes, sir.
Been lost, still come to our church, a different spirit, different atmosphere. A different touch. And I told our young people, I said, it's a blessing. But you don't have to go on what Grandma and Grandpa told
Amen.
You about.
Right.
Your eyes have seen it. Your heart has felt it.
Yep.
You've experienced God in your own life and your own heart. And before I read tonight, if it be in line, Pastor, could we just have a moment to pray?
Yes,
and open this altar. Maybe you'd just like to come. Some of you that are seated that have seen it, maybe you'd like to come and say, Lord, I'm begging you, if you don't do it this week, Lord, I want the generation that's standing here tonight to see it for themselves, experience it for themselves. And I believe we just need to come tonight and pray, and then we'll try to mind the Lord after that. But there's a generation all across this country that have never experienced it, never seen it, and we need to hunger and thirst after it and beg God. You that are standing, how many of you like to come and say, Lord, I want to see it for myself. I don't want to just hear about what happened days gone by. Thank God for it.
Yes.
But I want to see God do something in our day, in our generation, among our people, that transform us and change us for the glory and honor of the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Joshua Shepherd, wherever you are, Brother Joshua, would you lead us as we pray together, seek the face of God for revival tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, we come before Your presence tonight humbly, acknowledging, Lord, that we're nothing without You. I thank You for Pastor Shepherd. I Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this week and what you've done thus far. Thank you for the good liberty, God, there's been freedom to preach the Word of God. And Lord, you granted a great heaviness in my heart for this meeting. And Lord, I just be honest before you, I don't feel fulfilled in my spirit of what you desire to do is having taken place at this point. And Lord, I'm praying for the dear pastor, God, and his dear wife and this dear people. Lord, we know tonight that we cannot manufacture revival. But Lord, we can seek you for a move of God. And Lord, we need you tonight, God, to work and move in every home and every heart. And Lord, I know that there's been opposition. I know, Lord, there have been difficulties and problems and troubles and even sickness, and many things seem like standing in the way this week. But Lord, we profess before you, we know that you're greater than all those things. You are the great I am. You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we even ask or think. And Lord, we come as humbly as we know how tonight, asking, Lord, that you'd please move in tonight's service. Lord, I know that the number may be down, but I'm very thankful that in the Word of God, you took 12 disciples and you turned the world upside down in the book of Acts. And Lord, I'm very thankful for what you can do in a heart tonight that might change their life forever. Lord, I'm thankful that you change us in salvation, but Lord, we pray you change us in our service and our stewardship tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd guide my heart in the perfect will of God. Help me preach in your power. And Lord, may I discern your will. Lord, I want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in all that we do. And Lord, we just acknowledge we do need you. And God, we acknowledge this church needs you tonight. And Lord, we come with hungry hearts, humble before God, acknowledging that we need revival in this hour. Lord, would you please be merciful unto us and move, meet with us. God, show us the way, guide our steps, enlighten our eyes, give us wisdom, Lord, to do the will of God. And we'll thank you for what you do, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that tonight. I'm just taking a few moments to seek the face of God for revival. And I promise you there's one thing we'll never do too much of, and that's pray and call on the name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, Romans chapter number 13. It's where the Lord's directed my heart. Romans chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse number 11 tonight. Romans 13, verse 11, the Bible said that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You may be seated tonight. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word of God. Now we know the book of Romans tonight is a treasure trove of theological truth. Amen. It begins dealing with some of the grandest and greatest doctrines in the Bible, dynamic doctrines. The doctrine of condemnation is seen in chapters 1 through chapter number 3. Beginning at the end of chapter 3, we find justification by faith. That continues on through chapter 5. We have the great subject of sanctification and the believer being set apart for the glory and honor of the Lord. We see the great doctrine of preservation, how we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's the doctrine of glorification that we find in this grand epistle. Now, as we come to the 13th chapter, Paul is speaking to them on the subject of the Christian and the laws of the land in verse 1 down to verse number 7. He speaks about the Christian laboring in love in verse 8 down to verse number 10. Now, as we come to verse 11 through 14, Paul is going to deal with the Christian that has become lethargic in their Christian life. And so, sadly, many saints today are slumbering and sleeping in this critical and crucial hour of which you and I are presently living in. Our prayer this week has been that the Lord would wake us up, shake us up, and raise us up for His honor and for His glory in true revival power. We long to be better and bolder servants for the Lord to carry out His commission and His calling in our lives. And so as we come to the present passage that we find, there are three time frames that are brought into view in this present passage of Scripture. There is the darkness, there is the dawn, and there is the day. And we'll describe them more in the first point of the message a little bit later on. But I'm going to say this about these three time frames that are mentioned in the text. It deals with our past life, our present life, and the promised life that we're looking forward unto. With the help of God, and I'm going to preach a message entitled, Our Dilemma at Dawn. Our Dilemma at Dawn. Now, when you look up the word dilemma according to the 1820 dictionary, it literally means that which strikes on both sides. And so it is to be torn between two. Right now, we are torn in our present life between the past life we came from and the promised life that we're headed unto. And so when we think about that, we understand that there is truly a dilemma that we are encountering at dawn in this dawn hour. The dawn can be described in the 1820 dictionary as the breaking of the day. It is the first appearance of light is seen in the morning. It is often used to denote the whole time from the first appearance of light until the sunrise. And so we know that it is thought that the dawn will only last for a space of about 1 hour. It is a very brief time, and yet it is a crucial time to the beginning of our natural day. And can I say this is descriptive of the Christian journey. We've came from the darkness. We've been delivered when we got saved. And we're headed toward the day. But right now, as we live in this dawn hour, may God help us to realize the great responsibility we have to awake and arise and serve God in this generation. Number one tonight, we see that there is a call to awareness in the passage set before us. He said in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And so Paul is encouraging us to be knowledgeable concerning the time frame that we are presently traveling through. I think as we consider where we are in the text, Paul is speaking specifically about where we are presently living our Christian life. That is in this dawn hour. As mentioned before, there are three periods of time highlighted in the passage. First, there is the past life, and it's made reference to the dark in verse 12. The Bible said the night is far spent. Now, that's where every sinner is living their existence tonight. They're living in the night. They're in the darkness. They're blinded by sin and bound by sin. Oh, thank God, I'm glad the glorious light of the gospel of Christ one day shine into my dark place. Let me know that Jesus saves. And I made my way to Christ and trusted Him. And thank God, I'm glad the darkness is now past. I don't belong to the night anymore. I'm a child of the day. Hallelujah. I've been delivered, redeemed, washed in the blood of Christ. And I'm on my way to heaven. And I thank God for that tonight. But yet many are living in the darkness. And this refers to the night of spiritual ignorance and our lost estate. It's used descriptively of the life of the lost sinner. And can I just state before us tonight that there are many and multitudes that are still living in the night hour in the darkness. Then we know there's not only the past life that is brought into view and is spoken of by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5. He said, ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We used to be, but we're not anymore. Hallelujah. I want to say thank God. The terms night and darkness are used synonymously in the context about the long night of sin. And so thank God for Christ, how He set us free and He saved us by His grace. Then we note this as we go further in the message, that a person that's in that lost estate, they're bound in sin, blinded by sin, and broken by sin. But I'm thankful when the glorious light of the gospel shines in that dark place, even the vilest of sinner can believe and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And so thank God that's the past life that we've came from. But then there's also in verse 12, the day is at hand. The day's not here yet, but it's at hand. It's what we're looking forward to. And that deals with the promised life that we will enjoy as God's holy people. Now, Paul reaches from our days of failure to look forward to the glorious future day in eternity. The day at hand speaks of the coming splendors and the glory that shall be ours when we meet our Lord and Savior in the sky, and forever shall we be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but when we was in the lost dark night of darkness and sin, we was bound by sin and shame. But oh, thank God, after we got saved by the grace of God, we're headed for that glorious country. I'm glad I'm a pilgrim and a stranger just passing through this world below. This world is not my home. And thank God I understand that. I've been called out. I've been saved by grace. I've been set apart for His glory. And heaven is going to be my home. But I'm going to say, between the day I get saved and the day that I leave this world, there is a point in time in my life God has allotted me to live my life for His glory and His honor. So what comes between the darkness and the daytime? It is the dawn season that we're looking at in the Word of God. And so I want to say tonight, there is between the past life, the darkness, and the promised life, the day, there is the present life that we're referred to as the dawn. He uses the words here, and that knowing the time. And he goes on to say this, and it is high time. And I think that's interesting. You see, light begins to lift and darkness is dispelled at the beginning of the day. And so I'm thankful for that. The dawn is that period of time that divides the darkness from the day. I will say there is a division made when anybody gets really saved by the grace of God. If somebody gets saved by the grace of God, may not be all that they could be, but they ain't never going to be all that they used to be neither. I'm thankful for the difference that Christ makes in the lives of those that will come unto God by Him. Now, Paul seems to use a play on words when he uses this phrase, high time. How many see that in your Bible tonight? Because this phrase, high time, literally means 1 hour. And so this high time is the dawn hour that we're dwelling in presently. And so God wants us to be aware of where that we're presently living our lives. You see, before we got saved by the grace of God, darkness is all we knew. But I want to say thank God right now we know the light. And we know the Lord. And we know that there's a better land ahead of us as God's people. And might we want to be living our lives toward the day and not living our lives back toward the darkness from which we have been delivered. Amen. So Paul is calling for us to realize we're no longer the night, but we are to live for the day that is to come. The night we could not help but sin. In the dawn we're still capable of sin. But the day's going to come when we'll no longer fail God anymore. I say hallelujah. What a glorious truth that is. That there's coming a day that we'll be sanctified spirit, soul, and body. And we'll never fail the Lord again. What a joy to know there'll come an hour that I'll never have to bow before Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I had this bad thought. I'm sorry I got in my flesh. Oh, thank God for the day of our great deliverance. Amen. You see, we've been delivered spiritually when we got saved, but we're going to be delivered entirely when the Lord comes. And so between the coming of the Lord and our conversion, we're living in this dawn hour. And Paul was writing in this passage to scripturally inform us so we would not be scripturally ignorant about the time frame of which you and I are living in. It was a call to awareness. We need to wake out of our spiritual slumber and get busy for God. That's what Paul's dealing with. He's dealing with the church at Rome about getting aware of where they were and then, thank God, called to action to do something for the glory and honor of the Lord. It's a call to awareness. How many agree that you can see in the Scripture we are living in the dawn hour? Amen. Can you see that biblically tonight? We're living in the dawn hour. And so then secondly, there's a call to alertness. Now I'm going to say this, some people are aware of the time of which we live, but they're still not alert. Right. It's kind of like this in the morning. Sometimes the alarm clock will go off and you suddenly have an awareness of where you are. Right. But you still do nothing about your condition. And you end up hitting that button called the snooze button. Yeah. And can I just be honest, that's where most Baptists are. In this hour, God's still sounding the alarm. And God's still sending the Word of God in power and truth. But many saints of God, they'll hear the message. They'll identify the fact. They know it's true. They'll know it's fundamentally sound and doctrinally right. They'll agree with every word that's said. They're aware of the condition, but they're certainly not alert.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference in being aware and being alert.
A
lot of people are aware of the fact Jesus could come any hour. But they're certainly not alert. See, you and I need to understand that in verse 11, Paul said that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He's not talking to the sinner in this passage. He's talking to the saint of God. He's talking about people that have already believed on Christ and been born again by the Spirit of God. And he reminds that group of people that right now, in the present tense, not tomorrow morning, not tomorrow night, but right where you are tonight on Saturday night in revival, it is time for you not only to be aware of where we are, but it's time for you to be alert.
Yes,
about where we are and what we need to be doing for the glory and honor of God.
Amen.
Now, in the Strong Concordance, the word awake, it conveys the idea in the context of collecting one's faculties. It is to awaken. It is to rouse literally from sleep. Paul twice uses the word now in this verse that we're looking at. And so this is in the present tense, and it's dealing with the present time. And so can we all agree tonight that God right now wants you and I to be awakened to the condition we are in personally and do something about it?
Amen.
See, as the pastor already said, it's easy for us to be thinking about those that may not be here. But God already knew who wouldn't be here before tonight came.
That's right.
But what would transpire if just the number that is here tonight would really, sincerely get aware of where we are?
Yes, sir, brother.
And God really awaken us and alert us,
yes, sir,
to the desperate need we have for God? See, I'm afraid that we don't even understand. You see, that Laodicean mindset that begins to creep in is this, that we're wretched and miserable and blind and naked. And the Lord said, and you know us not. You can't even see that you have a great need. You see, everything is okay. But God said from heaven's point of view, it's not really okay. I wonder tonight if I really stood before God and God withheld no punch from me, and He revealed exactly where I am in my personal walk with God. Would I walk out of here feeling good about myself? Or would I find me a place to meet with God and say, Lord, I really need You to wake me up?
Yes, sir.
See, I'm a firm believer that America needs more tonight than revival. I believe we need a great awakening in these days.
Amen.
I believe that the spirit of slumber is so deep among us that if God, I mean listen, that God is moving and God is passing by and God every once in a while will open up the blindness of our eyes and we'll see just for a moment, we'll see with awareness that there is a need. But if we're not careful, a week later, we're right back in the same rut and the same routine and the same form and the same fashion. And nothing has vitally changed among God's people. God wants to change us. God wants to change me. God wants to change you. And I pray tonight that we'll not resist Him, we'll not refuse Him, but that we'll respond to the Lord personally and pray even now while the message is being preached, Lord, show me how You can change me. To help me be more aware and more alert in this hour that You've given me. So we think about the present time. Time is swiftly passing. We need to wake up, and we need to wake up right now. How many agree with that statement?
Yes, sir.
1 John 2:28, and said, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You see, the reason the Lord wants to make us aware and the reason the Lord wants us to be alert is because He don't want us to be ashamed when He returns again.
Amen.
And is coming for His people.
Yep.
You can be saved and be ashamed when Jesus comes.
That's right.
And there will be many people, saints of God, that will be ashamed at the coming of the Lord, because the truth is, when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not just going to be an easy pass for you just because you've been saved. Oh no, we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether it be good or whether they be evil. I'm telling you, there was a time when preachers would preach about the fact we're going to meet God, and people get her that old time conviction and fear of God and weep their way and say, "Lord, I'm sorry," and get things right with God and each other, because they knew there was coming a day they'd meet God one day for their own personal life. Thinking these days we're so in such a spirit of slumber many places that it no longer even alarms us that we're going to have to face God one day. I don't want to be that way. I want God to help me. You see, we need to collect ourselves spiritually, realize that Jesus is really all that matters. How many agree with that statement? He is really all that's going to matter when it's all said and done. And so we think about that. Our Lord's either going to find us sleeping or He's going to find us serving when He comes.
Amen.
We're all either going to be serving or sleeping when our Lord returns. I wonder tonight, how will the Lord's coming find you? If the Lord were to come tonight before the message even concluded and was to find us in the condition we are in tonight, would we really have confidence to stand before Christ in the service tonight? I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure that I'm really all that confident about meeting God tonight. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. I don't say that arrogantly, but I say that because I have full trust in Him. I thank God for the day I got saved. He's been the best friend I've ever had. But I just tell you, when I get to thinking about meeting God one day, and I get to thinking about my stewardship and my service and my life, oh, I believe I could do a lot better. I believe I could go further with Him. I believe that I could prioritize a little bit better in my life. I believe God could help me tonight and revive me tonight if I'd really seek His face. Respond to the Lord. Many believers are slumbering when they should be serving. You see, you're either reaching back to the dark or you're pressing on toward the day. You know, whenever the sun rises, that time of the breaking of day, that dawn time as it arises, the one thing about it, if you're not careful, you'll slumber through it before you even realize it. It is such a brief time that if you do that, you'll miss out on what has been graciously granted and given to you.
Right.
Now, we understand that in the natural sense, but oh, that God would let us get a hold of that in the spiritual sense.
Yes, sir, brother.
If we could really get a hold of the fact that our life is going to be here today and gone tomorrow, that we don't have much time, none of us do. I mean, as I stand before you tonight, there are some that will probably outlive me, and there are others in this service that may go before I do, and none of us know when. Listen, but we do know this, all of us have an appointed time. We're going to come to the end of the journey one day, and we come to the end of the journey, there's going to be no do-overs. There's going to be no second chances. There's not going to be any time to say, "I wish I had," or "I wish I'd have got this right," or "I'd have really had revival." Oh no, it'll be finished when our life comes to its end.
That's right.
What you do for God, you got to do now.
Amen.
What I do for God, I got to do now. Satan is such a master manipulator. He tries to convince us there'll be another time or another season.
Right.
The next meeting will have revival. What if Jesus were to come before the next meeting?
Right.
What if the Lord were to come before tomorrow morning? You see, I want to live and die day by day thoroughly right with God.
Amen.
I want to seek His face. I want to submit to His will. I want to be found serving the Lord when He comes. And we think about how that this dilemma comes into view here, as the spiritual man desires only the day. But there's the fleshly nature that no matter how much you want to try to cover it up, that flesh nature, that Adamic nature, still desires the night. Something in us is torn between two worlds.
Yep.
One of those is going to take control in your life. Galatians 5:17, There's that flesh life, and there's the faith life, and there's a constant war within the believer. Galatians 5:17, Paul said, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." That word lusteth means to set the heart upon. If you follow your flesh, we'll sleep, my friend, and we'll slumber when the Son of God comes. But if we follow the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, the Lord will raise us up and help us to serve Him in this last hour. Oh, may God help us realize the time is short and Jesus is soon coming.
Amen.
Now, in the physical realm, we sometimes struggle to rise and wake up at the wake-up call. But other times, we just get up and go at it. The most productive day you'll have naturally are the days you rise before the dawn or in the dawn hours. And you get busy and you do what you can do. But if you slumber and you sleep through the dawn hour, and then the day's going to arrive, and those will be the most unproductive days that you have in the natural realm. And I'm going to say this, that's the way it is spiritually. We're missing out on valuable time. We're missing out on precious time to serve God. There are many saints tonight that prioritize not the things of God. Can I get amen right there? I mean, listen, we prioritize what we want to prioritize. Amen. Whatever happened to that generation that their life revolved around the house of God?
Yes,
in the Old Testament economy, the children of Israel encamped around the tabernacle.
That's right.
It was the center of their life.
Yep.
Everything about their life revolved around the worship at that tabernacle.
Right.
And that tabernacle is a picture and a portrait of Christ.
Amen.
I'm telling you, everything about our life ought to be surrounded around Him, ought to be consumed around Him. Jesus had it right when He said in His earthly days, He said, "I must be about my Father's business."
Yeah.
He said, "You know what? I've got to be busy." He was 12 years old and already consumed with the Father's business.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody said, "How young can you be to get busy for God?" As young as you want to submit to God, you can
amen.
Get busy and you can be used of God in the service of the Lord.
Amen, amen.
Whether you're young, middle-aged, or old, you can serve God if you want to.
Amen.
The question is, do you really want to serve Him?
Amen.
We've got to rise up and realize that we need spiritual discipline about us. We need to put faithfulness over our feelings, our Lord over our lust, and the cross over our comfort in this last hour. Oh, may God help me tonight, and may God help you. I mean, we need to rise up and realize souls are perishing and souls are dying. Every second, statistically, two souls are going to die and step out into eternity. It turns out to be 120 people every minute, 7,200 people every hour. That is 172,800 people every day that are stepping out into eternity. Multitudes and multitudes. I'm talking about sons and daughters. I'm talking about dads and moms. I'm talking about cousins and neighbors and co-workers that are dying lost and going to hell without God. You see, their time may continue, but opportunity may cease concerning a sinner that's on your heart in this meeting. There's no doubt in my mind that between this meeting and if the Lord should graciously allow another revival meeting here at Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, that there'll be some soul somewhere within the reach of this church that's going to be in hell before the next meeting. No doubt more than one. No doubt several that'll be in hell before the next revival meeting. I'm afraid that we really struggle to see what a great need there really is. As it's been said, today's churches have lost touch with many things. We become comfortable when we should be convicted. We've turned to carnality when we should be consecrated. We're following the world when we should be following the Word of God. We need to awaken from our sleep. We need to be alert in our service. The long night of sin is over for us as believers, and the day of deliverance is soon coming. Our brief dawn is swiftly going to pass. What am I going to be doing for the Lord when Jesus comes?
Amen.
What am I going to be doing for the Lord when I draw my final breath?
Yep.
And I stand before Him one day? Oh, I want to get busy for God. You see, there's a call to awareness. Paul said that now it is high time, knowing the time. He said you need to know something about where we are. We're in the dawn. He said you need to be alert. Now is high time to wake out of sleep. And so you understand that God is sounding the alarm tonight. The alarm is going off spiritually. It is ringing. And it says, will somebody rise up and follow me?
Amen.
Somebody get up and go after the Lord.
Yep.
Serve Him with all your heart. But then there's a call to action. Look at verse 12 through 14. He said, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He said, everything that resembles the old life, we need to get rid of it. And everything that looks forward to the promised life that we have in eternity, we need to begin to put those things on. He's letting us see here that we are to walk honestly as in the day. And this honesty speaks to the fact we've got to be honest not only with one another, but we've truly got to be honest with ourselves. We'll never have revival until we get honest with God about our own heart's condition. You see, it's easy to look around and wonder about the condition of someone else's heart. But I'm telling you, if we have revival, we're going to have to get honest about our own heart and what we need. Can you say tonight, can I say tonight that I'm as hungry for God as I've ever been? I'm going to be honest, standing before you tonight, I need revival in my own hunger. Because there have been times that my prayer life's been deeper. There have been times that when I'd read the Word of God, and I read the Word of God every day. I don't say that arrogantly. But there have been times when I've read the Word of God that was so precious to me that tears would stream out of my face just rejoicing over what God's Word had to say to me. Hey, listen, I don't want to treat the Word of God just like a job. Oh, no. I want the Word of God to speak to my heart in a very intimate way. Hey, I don't want to just go to church to put it off a checklist and say, well, I went on Saturday night. Oh, no. I want Saturday night to mean something to me. I want Sunday morning to mean something to me. I want Sunday night to mean something to me. I know you're busy. I know you're tired. But I want to tell you something. The hour is very late. And if we're going to get something done for God, we got to get busy for God with the time we got remaining. Amen. This call to action is seen. He begins to instruct us what to do, to walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and fulfill the lust thereof. This is a clear call to separate from darkness. As the children of light, we are to divorce ourselves from anything that resembles the darkness. That we are to cast off the works of darkness. That means to throw, to fling, to send away the works of darkness. There are six things specifically mentioned in our text tonight. And they're coupled together by this, and we see there are three main thoughts about some things we need to cast off, and I'll give you those tonight, and I'll bring the message to a conclusion. The call to action is you need to be aware, and you need to be alert, and this is what you need to do. You need to cast off loose living.
Yep.
Paul speaks of rioting and drunkenness, and this literally describes a carousing and a loose lifestyle. I don't know any Christian in 2024 that can't tighten up the reins a little bit in our walk with God. From the pulpit to the pew, we can all improve in our walk with the Lord tonight. And he says when you really get alarmed about where you are and you begin to realize the brevity of the time and realize that, well, we're living in a day we desperately need God and there's so much around us. I mean, I wonder how many lost people are depending on revival at Island Ford Baptist Church really taking place.
Right.
I wonder how many souls will remain in their lost estate if we fail to have revival and have it now. You see, I'm not saying that because I'm the evangelist this week. It's nothing about me. But I'm just saying this because it's the truth, if there's ever been the truth. And whether it be this church or my church or any other church that we're talking about, I think every church that I know of among the fundamental ranks needs a stirring from God. And we need to return to some things and get truly revived and get refreshed and renewed in our service of God. I'm telling you, friend, it's no wonder the world don't want what we have when they look at the average Baptist person and they see that they're joyless and they're loveless and they have no thrill even about their own salvation and Christianity. Amen. You start a fire and it get to burning hot enough and people show up just to watch it burn.
Amen.
They may come for the wrong reason and bump into the right God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you that's what, you know what, when you go out of here tonight, what you need to tell people is praise God, we're having revival in our own heart.
Amen.
Amen. We go out of church like most people do, well, message too long, singers too loud, church too cold. Amen.
Yep.
Then we say, where's God at?
Right. Yes.
Have we thought that He's tired of our critical attitude toward Him?
Right.
I mean, He got fed up with Israel's murmuring, complaining all the time. And bellyache, I'm telling you, friend, if He got tired up with Israel, don't you know He has to be tired of it with us?
Right.
God don't want us murmuring, complaining. He wants us praising.
Amen.
He wants us lifting the name of Christ high. And God wants our lives to be tightened up. No loose living. Cast off loose living. You lived that way before you got saved. You have no business living that way after you got saved. Cast it off. Get rid of it. Live for His glory and honor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And use not liberty as an occasion to your flesh. I'm amazed how many people take that verse in Galatians out of context about liberty, but they'll never go on down the very same chapter and read that verse about not using it for an occasion of the flesh. When the whole time they're trying to use that verse to give them liberty for an occasion to their flesh. Most of that crowd use it because they want to dress like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, be liberal like the world, and still have the name of Christ and plead they're going to heaven when they die. I'm telling you, friend, what we need in this day and hour is a return to holy living, walking with God and talking with God and living for His glory and His honor. I'm telling you, friend, standards are still scriptural and biblical, and we need them in this hour.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Cast off the loose living. Then Paul speaks of this chambering and wantonness, and that deals with lustful living. Describes a lewd and lustful lifestyle. Now, it may not be that those things are prevalent in the house of worship as far as action. But if we're not careful, they can show up in a means of attitude. And what I mean by that is this, there are people all across the country that may not be living in the sin of adultery as far as committing the act. But what are they looking at on TV? What are they looking at on their devices? You see, when you look at statistics today, pornography's made major inroads inside churches, even among the fundamental ranks. I'm telling you, it's destroying homes and marriages. Hey, I'm telling you, we need to sound the alarm in this hour and let it be called what it is. It's wickedness. It's perversion. When you look upon a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery in your heart, is what Jesus had to say about it.
Amen.
Lustful and lewd living can show up in the house of God.
Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, I just don't think that it's even possible that it's in the church. If you think that, you're probably more blind than you realize.
Right.
Because I have seen it in churches you'd never dream, churches that have the greatest pastors, have the greatest preachers for revivals, have the greatest preaching in meetings, and yet even in churches like that, there can develop a real struggle with these things, and somebody's got to sound the alarm and say, hey, the Lord wants your eyes to be reserved for your wife, or you women for your husband, and He wants your eyes to be used for the glory of God. How can you look out on the fields that are white unto harvest if you got your eyes on lust? I'm telling you, may God help us to put away the lewd and lustful lifestyle. And the Bible talks about how we're to put away strife and envy. The fighting and the fussing lifestyle. You say, what are you going to give us in that, in the outline? Well, let's just call that low living. Because the truth is, it ain't God's desire for His people to live their existence fussing, feuding, and fighting. No, He wants us to live by faith and be faithful and serve God and honor God and have a fervency about us. You ain't going to have no fire and fervency if you're all the time fighting each other, amen. God said, put away that. You know why we got to put away these things? Because in verse 14, Paul brings it all to a great summary of our responsibility at dawn as a believer. He said, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You've heard this probably preached many, many times, but if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. God says, I want you to be aware your time is short. It's even as a vapor that appeareth for a time, then it vanisheth away. Hey, listen, I've talked to some of these old-time men of God. Many of them have been my dear friends and precious friends along the way. And they'll say, Brother Shepherd, we just don't know where the time's gone.
Yep, that's right.
See, it's not been that long since Brother Larry Wells and Brother Larry Raines and Brother Herbert Williamson and these men that I preach in meetings with, it's not been that long since they was my age.
That's right.
Then they looked up one day and they're Brother Shepherd's age.
Right.
Their kids are gone.
Yep.
Then they blink their eye and they're in the sunset of life.
Exactly.
And they look back over it and don't know where other time's gone.
That's right.
How brief a time we really have to make a difference for God's honor and God's glory. But there's one thing I can promise you. If you make provision for your flesh, you're not going to be productive.
That's right.
In your service to God.
Yep.
If you're all the time pampering it when you need to be crucifying it,
yep,
it's going to end up destroying what God desires to do,
yep,
in your life,
yep,
as a believer. I don't want to end up shipwrecked.
No, sir.
I don't want to become a castaway. I don't want to be a used to being a has been. I don't want to be a shooting star that goes across the sky and then vanishes in the night of darkness. I want my life to count for God's honor and God's glory. And my prayer is tonight, God, help me be more aware how brief my life is, how short an opportunity I have. You see, here's the truth of the matter. Jesus may not come tomorrow. He may not come tonight, but He could.
Right.
But here's what I do know about tonight's service. You'll never get Saturday night back from this particular meeting,
right,
on this particular day ever again in your life.
That's right.
What you've chosen to do with God today, it's sealed in the record of your life.
Right.
You can't change it.
Right.
Can't go back and redo it. What you've done today, it's part of who you are when it's all said and done. But I tell you what, I can't change the day other than the fact I can say, Lord, I want to do more. I want to be more fervent. I want to have a closer walk with you.
Amen.
I want you to clean me up. Help me be changed. But Lord, I do want you to help me be more for you tomorrow.
Amen.
Than I had been today. So stand on our feet tonight. This is a burden of my heart. And I pray that God will work in me. Listen. You may not need prayer like I need prayer tonight, but I want you to do something for me. Pray for me.
Yes.
I'm not saying that for any other reason. The fact that I realize without the Lord, I really am nothing. I really can do nothing. Brother Shepherd, everything in me, I want revival.
Amen.
For you and this church and for my own life. And I want, listen, I'd love for revival to get sparked in Brother Josh's heart. Starting a new church.
Amen.
He'd go back to Larned, Kansas, revived in his own heart, refreshed his own spirit, and
yep,
watch God do wonders there. And I'd like to go back to North Carolina and see that revival fires get fanned again and flamed,
amen,
again. And,
amen,
and God just break us out and do something for His glory and honor. I'd love to see it, but I can't produce it.
Right.
But I know one that can.
Amen.
I know one that has.
Yes, sir.
And I just want him to help me. You do tonight. I'm going to let your pastor actually come give the invitation. I'm going to pray. I want him to give the invitation, if you will, Brother Shepard, not however you feel led. But I want to pray and just ask God to please help me in my own life. I don't want to just be in a form and a fashion, a routine, a rut. I want to really pursue after God, be an example to my wife and my children and my church, of the preachers and families. I really want to make a difference,
yes,
for God's glory. Preacher.